The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of Mankind, the Peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam once upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person, 10 of his sins are forgiven and his rank is elevated 10 times. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode of these lovely series aired on Madani channel known as The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, Deen of Islam is indeed the light of guidance. For verily, the person who follows the true teachings of Islam, then definitely he has attained the light to guidance. And the one who turned away from this beautiful deen, he is a very unfortunate person and a very unlucky person, I would say. And he turned away from this beautiful light of guidance. Allahu Akbar, he ends up on the misguided path. He ends up on the corrupted path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all firm on the teachings of Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on this beautiful light of guidance. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, we will be discussing a very beautiful, one of the greatest personalities, I would say, in the history of Islam. That is none other than Sayyidina wa Mawlana, Imam-e-Azam, Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit, radiyallahu ta'ala. Our Imam, the Imam of millions and millions of Ahnaf around the globe, subhanallah. And people speak about this beautiful and excellent personality, subhanAllah. So inshallah, today we will be discussing Sayyidina Imam-e-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from us. But before we begin our discussion, let's all make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Make good intentions. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can make good intentions such as, inshallah, when I hear the name of Allah, I will say Jalla Jalaluhu or Jalla Shanuhu wa ta'ala subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means I will praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I hear the blessed names of the Anbiya alayhi salam, I will say alayhi salam. When I hear the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite durood, salutation, salawat, salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I hear the name of the awliya, when I hear the name of the pious saints, I will say rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha, whatever the case is, inshallah. And whatever I learn regarding this beautiful personality, inshallah, I will first of all try and instill his teachings, instill his actions, instill his beautiful words of wisdom in my life and lifestyle. And then inshallah, I'll pass the message on to others as well. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. With these few beautiful words, let's all make some good intentions. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajweri Hanafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Data sahab, who doesn't know him, alhamdulillah, his blessed mazar is in Lahore, Pakistan. And what a great personality, that personality that when Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi came towards Hind, then he went to the blessed mazar of Sayyidina wa Mawlana Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hujwari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he spent 40 days there. And in those 40 days, beautiful discussion, hidden discussions took place between Data Sahib and Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz. What beautiful spiritual ecstasies were felt in that period of time that Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz will know, because when he left, then very beautifully he wrote these ash'ar for Data Sahib, and he said, Ganj Bakhsh Faiz Alam Mazhare Noor Khuda Naqisara Peer Kamil Kamila Ra Rahnuma Allah, 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 that, you know, this beautiful personality, Ganj Bakhshay Faiz Alam, that the entire universe, the entire world is getting the faiz and the blessings, I would say, from this beautiful personality. Subhana Naqisara Pire Kamil, Kamilara Rahnuma, that for a naqis person, an incomplete person, you know, like myself, for him, he's a Pire Kamil, a perfect Piro Murshid, a perfect guide, a perfect spiritual leader. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and Kamilara Rahnuma, that not only for incomplete people, even those people who are Kamil, those people who have high stations, even for them, Data Sahib is a very good and a very great spiritual leader. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So that Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hujwari Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he was a Hanafi, he was a follower of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Very beautifully he says that, you know, one day whilst traveling in Syria, I visited the blessed Rosa of Sayyidina Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the blessed Muazzin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Sahabi Rasul, Muazzin Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, there I fell asleep and I found myself in Makkatul Mukarramah, in a dream. What I saw was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the door of the tribe Bani Shaybah and holding an elderly man as a small child. Overwhelmed with love, I moved towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and kissed his blessed feet. In my heart, I was also very surprised as to who this weak person was. In the meantime, he says, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the state of my astonishment by ilmul ghayb. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows the thoughts of the people's hearts, the people's minds. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know of what I was thinking, what was, you know, going in my mind and heart. So he says, while addressing me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam. After relating this dream, Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated, from this I have understood that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is one of those blessed personalities whose attributes are forever like the established rulings of Sharia. That is why the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves him so much. Subhanallah. This is very beautifully written in Kashful Mahjub Sharif by Data Sahib, Subhanallah. And how beautifully some ashar, Hamare Aqa, Hamare Mawla, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Hamare Malja, Hamare Ma'wa, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Subhanallah. Zamana bhar ne, zamane bhar me, bahut tajassus kiya ho, lekin mila na koi imam tumsa, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. This is the blessed personality of Sayyidina wa Mawlana wa Murshidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Nu'man bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Sayyidina Unaysa radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said that her father stated, when I fell ill, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to inquire after me, and after looking at me said, this illness will not harm you, but what will be your condition when after my apparent demise you will go blind after living a long time? Having heard this, I humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time I will have patience for the sake of earning reward. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do it, you will enter paradise without any accountability. After the apparent demise of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost his sight. Then after a period of time, Allah Azza wa Jal restored his sight and he passed away. This narration I mentioned, why? This is to show the ilm ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the incident which we discussed previously, where Data Sahib mentioned, you know, in the dream, he had this desire, he had this thinking in his heart, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know of his desire in his heart. And there I indicated and said this, you know, this is the ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nobody should think that, you know, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the knowledge of the unseen. This beautiful narration, and like that, there are hundreds and hundreds of narrations which prove the ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, even the ayat of the Holy Quran denote upon the ilm al-ghayb, knowledge of the unseen of my beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Indeed, our aqidah, our belief is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has knowledge of the unseen, and definitely this knowledge was granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not believe that this knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his own and wasn't granted. No. Yes, it was granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ilmi ata'i. It was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him, that is not our duty, that we do not even know. Because my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alimu ma kana wa ma yakun. He has the knowledge of whatever happened and whatever will happen until the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the knowledge of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want to discuss the knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very explicit and clear ayah of the Holy Quran, very beautifully, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in ayat number 24 of Surah Takwir, Tatyat para Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa ma huwa ala al-ghaybi bi dhanin. Translation from Ganzul Iman. And he, means the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not a miser to disclose the unseen. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a miser in disclosing the unseen. Yes, he can inform you of the unseen. He can inform you of what's going to happen tomorrow, today, in the night, day after tomorrow, and everything until Qiyamah, and even everything which is going to happen after Qiyamah. Very logically, if you understand this, I mean, today we heard about, oh, we know about Jannat, we know about Jahannam, we know about the year after, we know about the grave, we know about the accountability which is going to take place. Is there anyone who informed us of it? Is there anyone who, or were we just born this knowledge? No. And who were we informed by? By the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, this is how Jannat is, this is how Jahannam is, this is what's going to happen. These actions lead you to Jannat, these actions lead you to Jahannam. And you know, this is how the grave is going to be, this is how the year after, the matters of the year after will be. So everything, these are all unseen things because we have never seen it. But all of this was disclosed to us, was told to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today everyone believes it, and we even speak about it on minbars, in front of people, or in front of the camera, different places. And then, you know, some people turn around and say, no, my Nabi does not have the knowledge of the unseen. So I ask them a question, that I mean, all of this unseen things which you know, you accept they are unseen because you have not seen them, then who informed you of it? Who told you about it? Who mentioned it to you? Then they will say, it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I said, when he is informing you of the knowledge of the unseen, you accepted it, you believed it, and then you say he doesn't have knowledge of the unseen. It's something which doesn't come in the human intellect. It's something which, you know, which we cannot understand. I mean, it is total foolishness that a person accepts the knowledge of the unseen, that yes, this is unseen, and it was told by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, he says that he doesn't have knowledge of the unseen. Allah, Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such people, from such beliefs. Very beautifully in the tafsir of this ayah, the one I recited now, وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِبَنِينَ, that it is mentioned in tafsir Khazin. This blessed ayah implies that when the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attains knowledge of the ghayb, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not become stingy in this regard, but rather he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparts it to you. He informs you of the beautiful knowledge of the unseen. Subhanallah. So while keeping this knowledge of the unseen in your mind, listen to a very beautiful narration in Musnad. Imam Ahmad very beautifully has mentioned that giving the news of the unseen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لَوْ كَانَ الْعِلْمُ بِسْتُرَيَّا لَتَنَاوَلَهُ أُنَاسٌ مِّنْ أَبْنَاءِ فَارِسِ. Oh, come on, alayhi salam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, if knowledge was suspended in the Suraya, means the Pleiades, means the highest star, some people from the descendants of Persia would get it even from there. That's how far they would go, you know, just to seek knowledge. Very beautifully in the explanation of this beautiful hadith, Sayyidina Imam Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned, he says, this sacred hadith refers to the blessed personality of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, and there is no doubt in this fact, as in his era no one from people of Persia attained the status regarding knowledge that he had, or rather no one even attained the scholarly status that his students had. It also contains the clear miracle of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the news of ghaib, the news of unseen, that is, he stated what was going to happen. Subhan, this is the shan and the maqam of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, mentioned by my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling you and mentioning you the status of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, that even if ilm is on the highest star, even there you will go and fetch knowledge. Means that's how much love for knowledge, how much passion, how much jazbah, how much enthusiasm he will have to seek in Medina, and that's how knowledgeable he will be. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear Islamic brothers, this fact is definitely azhar min ash-shamsi wa abyan min al-amsi, means brighter than the sun and more certain than the past. That our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has knowledge of ghaib by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with that knowledge of the unseen, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the news of Sayyidina Imam Azam's high status and high rank and his beautiful and excellent knowledge. Subhanallah, subhanallah. When Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala came in this world, the popularity of his blessed knowledge spread in all directions, and knowledge spread everywhere. If you look at the literal meaning of his blessed name, Nu'man, his name is not Abu Hanifa, no, his name is Nu'man bin Thabit. Nu'man is his blessed name. So if you look at, you know, the literal meaning of his blessed name, we find that he is surely the testimony of his blessed name. Shaykhul Islam, Shahabuddin, Imam Ahmad bin Hajar, Haytami, Makki, Shafi'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has mentioned, Islamic scholars have consensus that his name is Nu'man, and a very pleasant and graceful factor lies in his blessed name. And what is the beautiful factor? That is, Nu'man's actual meaning is such blood which forms the skeleton of the human body. So the reason behind calling Imam Azam Abu Hanifa by the name of Nu'man is that he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is the foundation of Islamic jurisprudence, the foundation of fiqh of Islam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to more about this beautiful personality, you know, his beautiful name, his title, subhanallah. His blessed name is Nu'man, his father's name is Thabit, and his kunya is Abu Hanifa, and his title is Imam-e-Azam, the greatest Imam, subhanallah. He was born in 80 after Hijrah in Kufa and passed away on the second Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam, 150 after Hijri, at the age of 70, subhanallah. His blessed shrine is situated in the grave of Baghdad and is the center of attraction of people even today. All four Imams of Fiqh, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Muhammad bin Hanbal, are rightful, and their followers of correct belief are brothers to one another. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa's rank is the highest amongst all four Imams. One of the reasons for this is that he is the only Tabi'i amongst these four. Tabi'i refers to the one who met any blessed companion, any blessed sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of iman, in the state of faith, and also passed away in the state of iman. Subhanallah. According to different narrations, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was privileged to meet few blessed sahaba kiram, and he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi have also heard the blessed sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly from some of the blessed sahaba kiram of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Subhanallah, what a beautiful personality. I mean, he had the opportunity of meeting physically the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those personalities who saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, he also had the privilege of attaining knowledge, of learning, of listening to ahadith from these great personalities. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Nu'aym, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned, the appearance and state, the face, the clothes and shoes of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, were good. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would help everyone who would visit him. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was of medium height. He would converse with all people in a very good manner and would abundantly use itr. When he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, would go out, he would be recognized due to his pleasant fragrance. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala, would recite the Holy Quran along with propagating Islamic knowledge throughout the day and would spend the whole night in worship and spiritual exercise. Sayyidina Mis'ar bin Kidam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has mentioned, I once went to the masjid of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I saw that after offering Salatul Fajr, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, imparted Islamic knowledge to the people throughout the day. During this time, he only took breaks for Salah. After Salatul Isha, he went to his home. After a short while, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, came to the masjid in simple clothes, wearing lots of fragrance, and with a luminous face, became busy offering Nafil Salah in a corner of the masjid until the dawn. Allah, until the dawn. Thereafter, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, returned home and came back after changing his dress and offered Fajr Salah with Jama'at. After offering Salah with Jama'at, he continued to teach and deliver dars like the previous day until Isha. I thought that he would have been exhausted, so he would surely rest tonight. But he followed the same routine the second night as well. Then he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, spent the third day and night in the same way. I was very impressed and decided I would serve him throughout my life. So I started living in his masjid permanently. During my stay, I never saw Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu without fasting in the day and heedless of worship and nawafil in the night. However, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would take a little rest before Zuhr. Subhanallah. This is the great Imam. Look at his routine. Look at his life. That, you know, it wasn't about himself. I need to rest. I need to sleep. I need to do this. No, no, no. It was just about teaching people ilm-e-deen, letting them get knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, you know, carry on spreading this beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Fajr until Isha. And after that is done, everyone is sleeping. Now it's my turn to go and perform ibadat and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the morning. And then again, the day I will teach, night I will perform ibadat. And this was his routine. This was his beautiful practice. Subhanallah. This shows us the love, the jazbah Sayyidina Imam Azam had for teaching others, had for ilm-e-deen. I am not saying that, you know, every person should now go and perform nawafil the entire night. Me and you, if we do that, I mean, we'll do it one day, maybe, and next day we'll fall asleep. We'll manage. I mean, we are not of his caliber, of his status, of his rank. But with this, we can at least understand the jazbah Sayyidina Imam Azam had, the love he had for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love he had for propagating and teaching people about the ahkam, about the laws, about the teachings of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the beautiful personality. This also gives us a very beautiful opportunity for us to make some good intentions that inshallah, 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 whatever we do, we will always seek ilm-e-deen before it. Remember, once something becomes fard upon you, seeking the knowledge of that specific thing becomes necessary. For example, once you become baligh, then salah is fard upon you. Now seeking the laws, the ahkam, the masail pertaining to salah also become necessary upon you. If zakat is fard on you, then knowing the laws, the masail, halal, haram, whatever it is of zakat is also necessary upon you. If hajj is fard, then learning the ahkam of hajj is also necessary upon you. Fasting is fard, fasting, learning the laws of fasting is also fard upon you. Very beautifully, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, talabul ilmi fariidatun ala kulli muslimin. The meaning is seeking knowledge is incumbent, necessary, compulsory upon every Muslim man and woman. There is no excuse. You can't say, I didn't know how to perform salah, I didn't know how to read the Quran, I didn't know that I need to do this, I didn't know this broke my fast, I didn't know this, you know, this thing will happen. Why didn't you know? Why didn't you go and seek knowledge? Why didn't you go and ask somebody? Why didn't you go and learn ilm al-deen? The opportunities were there, the books were there, the teachers were there, everything is there. Alhamdulillah, this beautiful department is handled perfectly by Dawat-e-Islami. The Dawat-e-Islami gives you an opportunity. I mean, Dawat-e-Islami We have Jamiat around the globe. We have Madaris al-Madina around the globe. We have Darul Madina around the globe. So many opportunities of learning. Not only that, now we also have online courses. Online you can do Hifz. Online you can learn Quran. Online you can do Madani Qaida. Online you can improve with Tajweed. Online you can do Alim course. Online you can do expertise in different sciences. Dawat Islam is giving you opportunity. You want to learn how to read Quran? I mean, yes, online. You are tired, you are working during the day, at night you are free. Online you don't have to go to someone's house, someone doesn't have to come to you. Everyone has a phone, everyone has, you know, these kind of tablets and iPads and all of these things. So just on it and there it starts. Your online classes will start. How easy Dawat Islami is making this, how convenient it is making for you to seek ilm. The only thing you need to do is take the opportunity. It is as if a golden plate is in front of you. The only thing you do is stretch your hand out and take the apple from the plate. This is what you have to do. So Dawat Islam is, alhamdulillah, giving you the opportunities of learning Ilmedin. We'll make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to learn Ilmedin and then act upon Ilmedin and then pass Ilmedin, the knowledge of Ilmedin, to others as well. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also a businessman. He would also trade in his business. It wasn't only that, you know, he would only be firm in his business in terms of Sharia, halal, haram, jaiz, najaiz. No, those who used to work with him, those who were with him in his business, in his buying and selling, he would also urge them, motivate them to also do their businesses according to the teachings of Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi used to do trade with Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and would send him goods for trade. Once sending some goods to him, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, "Oh Hafs, such and such a cloth has some defect. Mention the defect when you sell it." He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi sold the goods, the cloth, but forgot to mention the defect at the time of selling it. He didn't even remember who he sold it to. When Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala learned about it, he gave the price of the entire cloth in sadaqah. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the precaution Sayyidina Imam Azam had. When you sell this thing, it has this defect. You must mention it has this defect. And Sayyidina Hafs forgot about it, you know, while selling the goods. But look at the piety of Sayyidina Imam Azam. When the money came, he gave the money in sadaqah. That no, you were supposed to mention the defect whenever you are selling something. Subhanallah, look at Sayyidina Imam Azam Hanifa. That Sayyidina Hafs forgot about the defect in the cloth and he sold the cloth. But look at the piety, the taqwa of Sayyidina Imam Azam Hanifa. That no, he gave the price of the cloth, the entire cloth, he gave the price in sadaqah. That no, why didn't you mention that this cloth has a defect when you are about to sell it? In other words, Sayyidina Imam Azam Hanifa is giving us a lesson. That when we buy and sell, when we trade, when we do business, how many of us deceive one another? How many of us cheat one another? How many of us do wrong things to one another? And we usurp, you know, millions and millions and millions of maybe rands, rupees, whatever it is, and we are not even worried. We don't have this piety, we don't have this taqwa. That when you are buying and selling, why are you making your money haram? Why are you doing illegal things? Why are you doing things which are not permissible? Many people lie whilst doing business. That, for example, you know, they're selling something and they know it has a fault. And the customer will ask them, does it have any fault? No, it's perfect condition. It's working 100%. It does this. I sold so many pieces. I did this. I did that. Just to sell one equipment. One item. Okay, you sold the item. Tell me the money which you earned, is that money lawful for you? That you lied and earned that money. You deceived someone and earned that money. You cheated somebody and earned that money. Then you complain in Manasa, there is no barakah in my business. There is no blessings in my sustenance. Where will the blessings come from? When you are removing the blessings by lying, by cheating, by deceiving. People lie also when they're selling a lot. That, you know, let's say something is for 100 rands. And somebody will say, you know, give me a discount. Maybe make it 90 or 80. You know, that's not even my cost. Whereas he knows that his cost is maybe 50, 40, whatever the case is. But he will say, no, that's not even my cost. So you are lying. You are lying in doing business. You are lying in selling. You are cheating in selling. You are deceiving in selling. Then how are you doing this business? Business is such a thing which is sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Business is sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Business is sunnah of the awliya. As you can listen, Imam Azam Munif also did business. But how are we doing business? That's a big question mark in front of us. And that we need to understand, we need to know. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam has mentioned a very beautiful hadith. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you can become a true mu'min, a true Muslim, until he likes for his brother the thing that he likes for himself. You wouldn't like somebody to cheat you. You wouldn't like somebody to deceive you. You wouldn't like somebody to lie to you. You wouldn't like somebody to sell you something which has a defect, which has a fault. No. When you don't like that specific action for yourself, then why are you tolerating that same action for your Muslim brother? Why are you tolerating it for somebody else? This is not how Muslims are supposed to be. This is not what Islam teaches us. No. Islam teaches us love and muhabbah. Islam teaches us to speak the truth. Islam teaches us not to cheat, not to lie. To be honest, not to have dishonesty. This is what Islam teaches us. Very beautifully, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a heap of grain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his blessed hand into it. When the blessed fingers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt wetness in it, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O the owner of this grain, what is this?" The man humbly replied, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rain has fallen on it." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "So why didn't you put wet grain on top of the heap for people to see it? The one who cheats is not among us." How beautifully is mentioned, the one who cheats is not among us. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, I mean, why do you want to cheat people? Mention if there's a fault, what will happen? Your price will be reduced, maybe the customer won't take it, but you spoke the truth, Allah ta'ala will grant you barakah in that truth of yours. Why do you have to lie while doing business? Why do you have to lie while buying and selling things? Sayyidina Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi ta'ala has said once, a humble said to Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala avoids backbiting so much that I have never heard him committing backbiting even against his enemy. So he rahmatullahi ta'ala said, "By Allah, he is very sensible in this matter, as he does not want his virtuous deeds to be overcome by any such thing that transfers them to the book of deeds of another person. For indeed, when you backbite about a person, and your good deeds are going to that person. For indeed, when you backbite about a person, then what's happening? I mean, you are getting sin first of all, and then that person is going to receive good deeds. That person will be getting good deeds. So there's benefit for him. First of all, his sins are not being increased in his account, and he is getting good deeds for free. And on the other hand, you are backbiting against him. Your sins are being increased, and there is no good deeds, and there is no good deeds for you. Allahu Akbar. This is backbiting. And then we feel that, you know, no, our dil halka ho gaya, now our heart is free, it is light, that we spoke bad about the person. But see the outcome of that. That you have attained, you have gained for yourself lots of bad deeds. And you have lost all your good deeds. You have lost a majority or a big amount of your good deeds. Allahu Akbar. Sayyiduna Dumaira rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned, no one has any difference of opinion regarding the fact that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala was the one who would speak the truth, who would never speak ill of anyone. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was once asked, "People speak ill of you, but you do not say anything to anyone?" He mentioned, "It," means my act of having patience, "is a grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he bestows it upon whoever he wants." Sayyidina Bukayr bin Ma'aruf rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned, "In the ummah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have not seen anyone more well-mannered than Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allama Abdul Wahab Sha'arani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, once Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi went to the wuzu area of Jami Masjid of Kufa. He saw a young man performing wudu. Drops of the water of wudu were dripping down. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said, "O son, repent of disobedience towards parents. That youngster said, I have repented. Seeing the drops of water used in wudu of another person, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said to him, oh my brother, repent of his zina, of fornication. That person said, I have repented. Again, seeing the water of wudu dripping from another person, Imam Azam said, repent of drinking wine and listening to songs and music. He humbly replied, I have repented. Subhanallah. Due to the kash, the faults of people would get disclosed before Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. He made dua in the court of Allah for the removal of this kash. Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted his dua, due to which he then could not see anymore the sins of people falling off whilst making wudu. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Look at his kash, his spiritual insight, that this spiritual insight was granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wanted to show him that, see, when a person makes wudu, the droplets of water fall from the person's body and his sins also get wiped out. And what that Imam Azam could see, the sins which people are committing. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful this is. This is Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. There are many people who claim to love Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. But on the other hand, you know, they like to find faults in people. Sayyidina Imam Azam was informed of the faults of people and he said, no, Ya Allah, you know, he made dua in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, remove this from me. He didn't go and start announcing the faults of people. He didn't go and start publicizing it. Today there are some people who claim to love Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, but the habit is that they want to always disclose the faults of others. They want to mention the shortcomings of other people. The Holy Quran very beautifully mentions, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not search for hidden faults. Clearly the Holy Quran has mentioned, if the fault is disclosed to someone in a way that he gets away, whose fault it is another sin. If it is a fault of an Islamic scholar and it has been disclosed, so the sin will increase further. In Kimya-e Sa'adat, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid, Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has very beautifully mentioned, mentioning the fault of an Islamic scholar is haram for two reasons. Firstly, it is backbiting. Secondly, people will become bold and they will follow it by making it an evidence. They will boldly make the same mistakes, and shaitan will also help them, those who follow the mistakes. And will say to them, for making them bold in committing sins, that you also do like so and so person, because you are not more pious than that Islamic scholar. That's how shaitan will attack that person. That so and so alim also did so and so bad thing, so and so scholar also did so and so bad thing, so you also do it, no problem. This is how shaitan attacks and harms the heart and the mind of a person. The more people he informs about the mistake, the more sins will increase. A Muslim should avoid, first of all, knowing the faults of people. And if someone starts telling him the fault, even then he should avoid listening to it. For example, if a Muslim sees or finds the fault of another Muslim by any means, he should conceal it. You should not mention it to anyone at all without any Sharia reason. Two very beautiful sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about concealing faults. Number one, the person who removes the trouble of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove his trouble out of the troubles of the judgment day. And the one who conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will conceal his faults on the judgment day. Subhanallah. Number two, the one who conceals the fault of his brother after seeing it will be made to enter Jannah. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Qais bin Rabi' rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala would accumulate trading goods from his earnings. Then he would buy clothing with that and present them to great Islamic scholars, muhaddiseen and needy people. And then would say to the needy people, glorify Allah because he has bestowed it upon you. By Allah, I have not given you anything out of my wealth. If anyone would visit him, he rahmatullahi ta'ala would inquire about him. And if he was needy, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would give him something. Once a person came to him wearing worn out clothes. When people left, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi asked him to sit. When he was alone, Imam Azam said, lift this prayer mat and take what is lying beneath it. He lifted the prayer mat and found 1,000 dirhams underneath. Sayyidina Imam Azam said, take these dirhams and improve your condition. He humbly said, Your Honor, I am already prosperous. I have blessings and I do not need it. Then Sayyidina Imam Azam replied, have you not heard this hadith? Allah Azza wa Jal likes to see the effect of his blessing upon his bondmen. You should improve your condition so that your friend may not feel sad about your condition. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers, from this beautiful parable, this beautiful incident, we learn that apart from helping the poor and destitute people, we also learn that we should also stay neat and clean. Alhamdulillah, Islam has not only purified a man from the impurities of shirk, of polytheism, but Islam also taught you how to clean your body, how to clean yourself, how to clean your outer self as you should clean your inner self. And you should clean your inner self more than you clean your outer self. Today everyone focuses on his outer self, his clothes, his dress, his shoes, his thing, but inside he's filthy. You must pay more attention to what is inside compared to outside. Very beautifully, the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in ayat number 222 of Surah Baqarah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Translation from Kanzul Iman, indeed Allah loves those who repent profusely and He loves those who purify themselves. Subhanallah, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha has said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, undoubtedly Islam is a neat and clean religion. Therefore, you also attain cleanliness because only the one who stays neat and clean will attain Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidina Sahal bin Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, the clothes which you wear, keep it neat and clean, and look after your mounts, means your riding animals, and your physical appearance should be clean in a way that when you go to meet people, they respect you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the beautiful teachings of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to instill these teachings in our hearts and minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Imam Azam in not finding faults in other people, always learning ilm al-deen, adopting piety, not you know, backbiting about people. So many lessons we can learn from the blessed life of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Subhanallah, subhanallah. With these few words, we come to the end of today's beautiful silsila. And we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the love of His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. If you have this love, by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. Remember, be positive, think positive, stay positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of you happy, grant you abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. We hope to see you soon, inshallah, in the next episode. Sallu ala al-hadith. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.